The fall.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream. Okay.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
We have very significant breaking news just in. We've just learned the Government Accountability Office says that the Trump administration broke the law by withholding that U.S. security aid to Ukraine.
Yeah, I want to read from this finding. Faithful execution of the law does not permit the president to substitute his own policy priorities for those that Congress has enacted into law. That's notable, of course, because Republicans, their defense has been this is just a policy disagreement, and that's in the president's purview. Let's go to Manu Raju back on the hill here. The GAO says explicitly this was illegal.
Yeah, and this is, of course, the nonpartisan arm of Congress, the investigative arm of Congress. Nonpartisan. Both parties rely on the Government Accountability Office to issue decisions like this, to rule on matters, to essentially review and study how things occur, sometimes the legality of matters, and here ruling, essentially making the decision that what the administration did was illegal.
Illegal. Isn't that what we're, looking for? Illegal activity? There was no crime. You never committed a crime. Although, extortion is still on the books, isn't it, everybody? Isn't extortion on the books? Isn't bribery still on the books? Isn't that a high crime? What about defying congressional subpoenas? I think that's called obstructing. So, I mean, now all of a sudden we got another law broken. Now all of a sudden we have the president failing to execute the laws faithfully with regard to the Ukrainian aid. And what is the reaction from the freaking Congress? It's not their job. It's not their job. They're not here to, relitigate whatever. I mean, this is just so unbelievable. So you have the president breaking the law again. You know, Mueller did not exonerate the president, okay? He actually said the president can't be indicted while he's president. And with that in mind, let's run through the myriad of law breaking. He's an unindicted co-conspirator in the Michael Cohen case. That's number one. Number two, in the Mueller report, he is an obstructor of justice. He's also somebody who welcomed the systematic and gigantic interference that Russia participated in. He stood in front of all Americans and said, Russia, if you're listening. Now, we all had a feeling that that was something big. It was. He was welcoming foreign interference into our elections. And then we found out that as soon as Mueller finished testifying, he felt emboldened because he thought Mueller was an old man. And he didn't testify beautifully. He didn't testify, in a telegenic way, okay? And so he thought, that's it. I can defeat him. And so he started shaking down another country looking for dirt on another opponent in another election, the 2021. And he felt his opponent was going to be Joe Biden. So he began dispatching all kinds of thugs and dirty lawyers and, fixers and henchmen, all over the world to hook up with Russian mafia, to get Russian mafia to say what they wanted from America, and in exchange, they dig up dirt on Joe Biden. That Russian mafioso guy, his name is Dmitry Firtash, and he was represented by Lanny Davis, who also represented Michael Cohen. Can I just say, if Trump picks a lawyer for you, he's picking a lawyer for him. So he told Dmitry Firtash through Lev Parnas, get rid of Lanny Davis, and we're going to pick Victoria Tensing and Joe DiGenova. Now, they're expensive. They're going to want $1.2 million, and then they're going to want $100,000 a month in expenses. How much don't they have stamps.com? I mean, how much do they pay for postage? I just don't even understand. $100,000 a month for expenses plus $1.2 million. And Firtash did it. And so Victoria Tensing and Joe DiGenova got on the TV and started saying, Soros did it. Soros, all Soros, Soros owns the state, Soros this, Soros that. And they got a meeting with Bill Barr, who was part of the team as we now know, and Bill Barr was going to review whether or not Firtash needed to be extradited to the United States to stand trial on his bribery charges. I mean, this is so disgusting. So we have all this law breaking going on in front of our faces, and the Republicans, I won't say all of them, but the ones who are very vocal right now, the ones who are speaking up and speaking out, not my job. It's not my job to hold the president accountable. It's not my job. Even though the case was made in the House of Representatives with the witnesses who defied Donald Trump's blanket denial to cooperate, who defied Donald Trump's order not to testify, who defied the White House, and through their own courage and bravery and their own devotion to the Constitution and this country, decided they would testify. And so you got testimony from the Department of Defense that goes to this GAO report. The Department of Defense testified that Ukraine had met all anti-corruption benchmarks that were set out for them and that this money should be released. That's also in this GAO report. They specifically cite DOD in this report as evidence that Donald Trump was deploying his own wishes and desires, and that it had absolutely nothing to do with the Department of Defense or any objections to releasing the money. In this report on page 7, the GAO report, DOD, I'm quoting, DOD had already produced a plan for expending the funds. See the DOD certification at 4-14. DOD had decided on the items it planned to purchase and had provided this information to Congress on May 23rd, 2019. It also goes on to say that the Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney, and the State Department, Mike Pompeo, refused to cooperate with GAO's document requests and any of GAO's requests to provide reasons for not spending the money. OMB, I'm quoting, OMB and state have failed as of yet to provide the information we need to fulfill our duties under the ICA regarding the impoundment of FMF funds. Those are Ukrainian funds, okay? And they talk about the Constitution grants the president no authority to withhold funds from obligation, okay? And they conclude that the president failed to faithfully execute the laws, and they say that Donald Trump broke the law. It's not their responsibility, Congress. They don't feel any obligation at all to enforce the law when Donald Trump violates the law. They don't feel any need to hold him accountable for law breaking. They don't feel, and you know what was really creepy? You know, Parnas, and you know, here's the thing about Parnas. Parnas is not a good guy. Just like Michael Cohen was not a good guy. These are guys who do bad things, and they do bad things for money, and they do bad things because they are in the cult of Donald Trump, and they do bad, bad things. And then when they get caught, they cry and they apologize. My wife is scared. My family is scared. My kids are scared. Everybody's scared. And they confess. What is the remedy to find out whether or not they are now telling the truth, or were they telling the truth when they were doing the bad things? The remedy for that is to call them as witnesses and cross-examine them. The remedy for that is to look at the documents. The remedy for that is to look at the documents' date stamps and to look at the documents' contents, to look at text messages, emails, letters, etc. And then subject the witness to cross-examination. And if this man Parnas is full of crap, let the Republicans expose him for being full of crap. But they don't want to call him. So my question is, why not? If you have nothing to hide, why hide everything? Parnas said, because Bill Barr is in the loop, Bill Barr is on the team, they're terrified that they will be investigated by Trump's henchmen at the Attorney General's office.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, the Randy Rhodes Show.
pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime.
Believe me.
Yeah. Turns out that 11 were injured in the attack by the Iranian regime. And now, here's the creepy thing. If Donald Trump will lie about troops being injured, about the Iranians targeting troops for killing and succeeding in at least 11 had to be taken out of Iraq, and they have been brought to Lunstall Air Force Base in Germany. Others of them have been transferred to a different hospital because they were deemed to have a higher level of care. They needed a higher level of care after the attack. Donald Trump has been covering all this up, okay? The Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, he said the points of impact were close enough to personnel and equipment, so on and so forth. I mean, everybody is afraid to say what's really going on in this world because they're afraid of Donald Trump. He said, I believe based on what I saw and what I know, they were intended to cause, the attacks were structural damage, destroy vehicles and equipment and aircraft, and to kill personnel. Donald Trump denies that the Iranians were successful in attacking our personnel. No one was wounded. And a lot of the troops, according to the reports that are coming out now at the, from the Air Force Base, I showed you a video. There's something wrong with my video. I can't show you videos today, or at least not now. But I showed you a video of one of the guys that was a drone operator, and he, you know, was describing the impact and how it just burned down their walls and everything else. And the troops apparently were in exposed positions at this Al-Asad air base, which is an Iraqi air base. But there are about 1,500 U.S. people, U.S. personnel there. And so one group were above ground. They were drone operators, and they stayed in this building to get the drones aloft, and they said they were knocked off their feet by the blast and that the building was completely damaged, which we now have video, you know, I've showed you video of that. And now we find out 11 troops, you know, about a dozen troops were evacuated. They went, some of them went to Germany, as I said, and the others were aeromedical evacuated to Kuwait. And why were they? Because they have a traumatic brain injury from the impact of the ballistic missiles. So the president is lying about that. And then there's this report that says that the intelligence officials are afraid to brief Congress. Okay, every year there is a world security briefing that is delivered to the American people by virtue of Congress. Okay? And so if you're a dweeb, a geek, or you care, or if you have kids over there, or if you're going over there, or if your husband is over there, your wife is over there, whatever it is, and you're concerned, then people can tune in to C-SPAN and see the briefing on the security situation in our world as evidenced by intelligence gathering that the United States does with its partners. They canceled this briefing. You know why? The intelligence, the people in the intelligence community are too scared to brief Congress in public because they're afraid it will anger Donald Trump. Because all that he tells you is such bull that the real stuff, they're afraid, would contradict him and he would get angry. Listen.
We're now learning that U.S. intelligence officials have asked the House of Representatives and the Senate to not hold public hearings on worldwide threats for fear of angering President Trump. We're joined by our senior national correspondent, Alex Marquardt. Alex, what's behind this request?
Oh, Wolf, this is truly extraordinary. Let's just put this into context for our viewers. Every year, there is what is known as a worldwide threats assessment that is put out by the intelligence community about the various threats that they see around the world. And the heads of the various intelligence agencies traditionally give both classified behind closed doors and public briefings to the intelligence committees, both in the House and the Senate. Now, this year, a source is telling my colleague Zach Cohen, Officials from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence have asked those two committees if this can not be done in public. That was part of the discussions.
Oh my God.
As they look to arrange these hearings that were supposed to take part later this month. Now, this, according to this source, is because intelligence officials are afraid of angering the president, which is exactly what happened last year. Last January, this time last year, the heads of the intelligence community, led by Dan Coats, the DNI at the time, and Gina Haspel, the head of the CIA, came out talking about the different threats around the world, including North Korea, Iran, ISIS, and Russia. And on a number, on all of those subjects, in fact, they were diametrically opposed to the positions that the president had been taking. For example, the intelligence community downplayed the threat from Iran. They said that the threat from Russia and North Korea were significant at a time when the president was trying to make amends with those countries. So he really came out swinging immediately, calling the heads of these of the intelligence community naive. He said that they should go back to school.
We're in deep doo-doo, man. This is dangerous. This is, I mean, of course it's dangerous. You have a president with a nuclear arsenal at his fingertips. Yes, I get it's dangerous. But what's even sicker is that we can't even brief our Congress. We can't brief anybody about any threats that the United States might be facing because it might upset Donald Trump and his lying. And he doesn't like his lies exposed so much. And therefore, Congress should go without the intelligence that they need in order to prepare budgets or pay for deployments or if you have children over there, I apologize. I am very sorry for you because you cannot know what threats your children or your loved ones or your wives or husbands are facing because it might upset the president's lying. It might put a crimp in his lying. The GAO has found that, this is just today, okay, we're not even a half hour into this. GAO found that Donald Trump, yes, broke the law. We have an enormous amount of part two of Lev Parnas's, media blitz. He, obviously did part two on Anderson Cooper and he did part two on Rachel Maddow. He told you this White House and the hotel, the White House is a cult. The hotel, the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. is a cesspool, okay? John Dowd was hired to represent Parnas because Donald Trump was really putting his own lawyer in charge of Parnas, and that John Dowd instructed Lev Parnas to shut up and be quiet. I don't know if they dangled pardons or what they promised him to just say nothing. You've got Barr is part of the team. You got Barr is threatening investigations against Republican members. And that's why they're so quiet. That's why they're so scared. What the hell happened to the rule of law?
Call in Connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
The argument made by a lot of Republicans during the congressional hearings was not only that the president cares deeply about corruption in Ukraine, so this wasn't just about a personal benefit for the president, but that Zelensky himself has come forward and said, I didn't feel any pressure. There was no quid pro quo. You've met with a whole host of people in his inner circle throughout the government.
That's a total lie. They're still, I mean, they're still rocked till this day. They're still not recovered, and I don't know when they will.
You have no doubt they felt this pressure.
Oh my God, of course, absolutely.
Existential threat to the survival.
Well, the main reason my life was threatened because of that.
Oh my God.
I mean,
So why do you think Zelensky says, oh no, there was no pressure. I didn't feel any pressure.
They're in an awkward position. I understand them, and I'm not here to try to call them out and put them even in the worst position.
The awkward position is if Zelensky says whatever he actually feels, he's still got out. He still needs aid from the Trump administration.
Obviously, and listen, My opinion is this, you know, loyalty goes so far, but I think there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that don't agree. They're good people that don't agree with what he's doing, but they're scared. He gets away with everything. And now with, you know, especially with Attorney Bill Barr on his side and the Justice Department, I mean, a lot of people are scared. They don't want to get investigated.
People are scared of being investigated by the Justice Department on behalf of President Trump, you're saying?
I think so.
So here we've been just contorting ourselves into various positions in the Kama Sutra, trying to figure out why are the Republicans so lily-livered? Why are they so mealy-mouthed? Why are they so willing to, go down this bad, unlawful, unconstitutional, who cares about democracy road with the president? And if Lev Parnas is to be believed, and I told you there's no reason we should believe him and there's no reason we shouldn't believe him because he hasn't been cross-examined and he needs to be placed on a witness stand under oath, cross-examined with the introduction of his documents. Okay? And he needs to undergo what courts typically do. He either needs to be impeached as a witness if he's lying over here, or he needs to be taken seriously if they can't impeach his testimony. His testimony thus far, which is only on the TV and not under oath, but does come with documents and documentary proof, is that the Republicans are scared that since Bill Barr has become our Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr is so dirty that he will use the Attorney General's office to investigate Senate Republicans, Congressional House member Republicans, Mark Meadows and Devin Nunes and Kevin McCarthy and all this cast of clowns, the Jim Jordans of the world, who we know Jim Jordan has some peccadillos. He's got some issues with, you know, like 40, 50 young boys who were molested by a coach, and Jim Jordan knew about it. So everybody's got these skeletons in their closet. God knows Kevin McCarthy took this Parnas Russian money. There are photos of Kevin McCarthy with Parnas. And the thing that Parnas is charged with in New York is funneling Russian money into people's campaigns, American campaigns. That's what he's been accused of in New York. I mean, it's off the hook, man. This is so freaking off the hook. And this is why I say it's a RICO violation, every one of them. The racketeer-influenced corrupt organization that we are hunting is the Trump administration. That is the racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. Now, this is bizarre. I don't think there's ever been a case where the government used RICO to go after a government agency or a government administration. In fact, I know that that's never happened, but this is off the hook bizarre. And here you've got, a Senate Republican saying it's not my job. Okay, that's blank, whatever you just sent me. Anyway, Brian in Albuquerque.
Hello, Randy, but, you know, he's not going anywhere. Trump is not going anywhere.
What do you mean he's not going anywhere?
He's not going to get impeached.
He is impeached.
I know, but it's not going to pass Congress. They are just
okay,
so...
Okay, so you mean to say he's not going to be convicted? He is impeached.
No, he's not. He might be there for another 4 years. And we have to dig in and realize that.
No.
He might be there.
I'm so sorry, but I am not a fatalist, and I don't just throw away democracy that easily. I don't just trash the Constitution and say, but he's going to be there. Because that's a lazy mind, okay? That's just somebody that doesn't have any clue how dangerous this man is. And you're just saying, But because I got news for you, if God forbid the American people don't turn on this man after this, you know, trial, if God forbid the American people don't look at this GAO report or hear about it or understand that he broke the law, or they don't, and that has to do with the Ukrainian money, or don't understand Lev Parnas is telling you that there is a criminal cabal that is posing as an administration, and for some reason they don't vote, and he somehow squeaks by and wins Wisconsin again, where he's destroyed the dairy farming industry, or Michigan or Pennsylvania, then it's time for you to leave this country, or it's time for you to actually get serious. But this lazy thing about, but he's going to win, that's what trolls say. Okay? That's what people on Twitter say when they're in their pajamas. That is not what Americans who give a damn about this country for the benefit of their children or for the benefit of the remainder of their lives, that's what they say. I don't say that. And you should never let that pass your lips again, ever. That is a shanda. It's a sin. Gary in Fort Lauderdale.
Hi, Randy.
Hey.
Hey, you know, you're so special at knowing all the details and the names and getting into the weeds and everything. But from a person like me who's just sitting back and watching and trying to understand, I see the big picture as being that there's absolutely no possible way there's going to be witnesses in this case. Because if there's witnesses, the truth comes out. When the truth comes out, Republican heads roll, and they're in a position where they can stop that from happening. So I cannot see how there can possibly be witnesses.
Well, it only takes four senators to have witnesses. And I hope everybody understands it's not that heavy of a lift to get witnesses. That's all it takes is four senators. There's something inside me that says that even though I disagree with Mitt Romney on corporations or people, my friend, or his view of the world from on high, that he's not going to go for no witnesses. Something tells me Lamar Alexander, who gives a damn about the Senate and always has, he's a Republican from Tennessee. Something tells me he's not willing to, you know, leave his legacy like this, and that he would be for witnesses. Something tells me Susan Collins is in so much trouble in Maine that the public opinion in Maine tells her she has to vote for witnesses. Something tells me Mike Enzi isn't leaving this way either. So it only takes four.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
Here's a really quick little example of a Republican shill, a Republican cult member, okay? All this new information, the GAO, Trump broke the law when he withheld the Ukrainian aid, okay? He broke the law. And isn't that the central issue in the impeachment and trial, right? Okay, and now we know he lied about the Iranian attack, and we know he lied about the injuries. We know he is intimidating the intelligence community, preventing them from being able to brief Congress on the threats that the United States of America faces, because it will contradict everything that he tells his people at his stupid freaking rallies, right? Here is a perfect example of a shill who knows all this. You know it, I know it, and David Perdue of Georgia, freshman senator, took the place of Sixby Chambliss, okay? It's not my job. It's not my job to hold the president accountable.
Do you think the Senate should consider new evidence as part of the Senate trial that has come out?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because that's not our job. The job is to respond to what we've been given in the case that was built by the House. They've given us two very weak articles of impeachment.
They're not
our job is to look at what they brought us and decide if that rises to the level of impeachment.
So the second senator, David Perdue, a close ally of the president, said he should not consider new evidence. And the way this will eventually work was when the Senate trial kicks off on Tuesday is when if any new evidence were to come through the course of the trial, senators could, or the president's defense team could object and unfortunately force a ruling by the Chief Justice to whether to allow that new evidence to be admitted as part of the trial. Senators could vote to allow that as well. That's 51 senators will be required to allow that new evidence. So that's why it's a key question, but at least one senator said no, another senator didn't want to talk about it clearly.
That was being very polite. That was Manu Raju. He asked Martha McSally. Martha McSally, she's a Air Force fighter pilot. You know, normally big respect, but you could tell Martha McSally is under so much pressure not to be fair. She is under so much pressure to stand against witnesses, new documents, GAO reports, evidence, depositions, you know, testimony. She's under so much pressure that she literally lashed out when Manu Raju had the temerity to ask her the same question. The same question was being asked of many senators yesterday. Should you allow new evidence in? Here's her answer.
Senator McSally, should the Senate consider new evidence as part of the impeachment trial?
Man, you're a liberal hack. I'm not talking to you.
You're not going to comment, Senator?
You're a liberal hack.
You're a liberal hack. Just for the record, here's Manu Raju asking a question of Ilhan Omar, who is one of the most progressive members of the House of Representatives, just so you know that he's not a liberal hack. Okay, here you go.
This morning you said the president trafficked...
What is wrong with you?
Question about your tweet. You had a tweet saying the president trafficked in hate.
I tweeted. There's a response. You can run that and have a nice day.
Why can't you?
So I think that's equal opportunity, hallway questioning. I do. I think that's equal. There's Ilhan Omar. What's wrong with you? And Martha McSally. You're a liberal hack. I'm not talking to you. See, this is what happens when they're under pressure, see, and they don't want to answer the question. But you don't have to make it, so personal, do you? Apparently you do. Apparently you do. But so you can tell there is a lot of pressure being put on a lot of senators who are being pressured by the criminal administration, who is using every tool in the toolbox, including threats to sitting U.S. senators. Something bad is going to happen to you. You're going to go through a lot of things. A la Marie Yovanovitch. And you know what's, I'm going to show you something, okay? Because I can argue anything from either side, right? I'm good like that. I'm open-minded, I'm a free thinker, and I'm a great lawyer, okay? Just really would have been amazing. Because I can argue from both sides. So I want to show you Lev Parnas saying something that the Republicans ought to be eager to have him say in the Senate in order to shred his credibility. And if they were fair or if they were interested in the truth, they wouldn't be afraid to have Lev Parnas come because you could shred him. You could shred him. Here, I'll play, you could play from Maddow or you could play from Anderson, it doesn't matter. Because they all asked him, they both asked him about, Marie Yovanovitch. You know, the president is the president. And if he wanted to fire her, he could have fired her. He didn't have to smear her, which is what she said. You know, she said, I can understand, the president not wanting me anymore, but I can't understand why they had to defame me in this manner. Why did they have to trash my reputation? Why did they go this far? Why did they do this? Why? So here's Parnas's answer about whether or not he personally wanted Yovanovitch removed. Okay, and listen, he did want her out of the way. And I'll show you how I know that, okay? Here.
Did you want Yovanovitch removed?
Me personally? Yeah. I mean, I didn't have no personal motives.
Did you know her?
No, I don't know her.
Did you have an opinion? You didn't have an opinion about
personal.
Her at all?
I mean, my opinion came from the crowd I was in. And it over the time, it grew more and 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 more. And eventually, I felt like I hated her because, everybody hated her. And she, I mean...
You say the crowd, you mean Ukrainians or Giuliani?
It was primarily our Trump crowd.
Why did they hate her?
Our Trump crowd.
Because she was supposed to be a Soros left. She was supposed to be a leftover from the Obama Soros Democrat era, and that she was.
That's what you were told.
That's what I was told. That she's not a Trumper. And to my knowledge, the president fired her at least four times, maybe even five times. I mean, once in my presence.
Explain that.
What do you mean in your presence?
He fired her in front of you.
Correct.
What happened?
That was the first interaction about her. We had it was a dinner at the private dinner for a super PAC in Washington D.C. at the Trump Hotel. And in the conversation, the subject of Ukraine was brought up, and I told the president that our opinion that she is bad-mouthing him, and that she said that he's going to get impeached, something like that. I don't know if that's word for word, but mm-hmm. that she was.
You said that at the table.
Correct.
Where the president
correct,
was.
Correct. And his reaction was he looked at me like got very angry and basically turned around to John DeStefano and said, "Fire her, mm-hmm. get rid of her."
So there are two things in that clip that are important. First, we'll debunk the fact that Parnas did not want Maria Yovanovitch out of the way. He did want Marie Yovanovitch out of the way because Fruman and Parnas were trying to get on the board of a Ukrainian gas company called Naftogaz. And we know this because one of the men who was on the board of Naftogaz, named Andrew Favarov, said he couldn't believe that they could get Marie Yovanovitch fired. But once he saw it happen, he was like, oh, wow.
But they were saying, we'd like you, we're going to make you the president of Naftogaz, the CEO, and by the way, we're going to get rid of the U.S. ambassador?
They alluded to the fact that the ambassador was not aligned with the interests of, or she will be changed. Honestly, I didn't take it seriously at first. You know, you'll hear all sorts of crazy stories, but, you know, when it starts panning out and when it starts happening and you start hearing about this is actually going to take place, and then it actually took place, that's when it was just a moment of wow for me. How has this happened?
Did they mention Rudy Giuliani?
Yes.
As their conduit?
They mentioned it, yeah, as one of the channels of communication and getting the right message across to the decision makers within the U.S. administration.
Did you fear that they really were connected to the Trump administration and had the power to carry out what they were doing?
After the events transpired with Ambassador Yovanovitch, yes, I thought that was a distinct possibility.
That's Parnas and Fruman he's talking about right there. So we know Parnas is not telling the truth about he didn't have anything against her and didn't really know her and didn't want her out of the way. So why aren't the Republicans willing to call him and impeach his testimony in this manner? How long did that take, everybody? How long did that take? 3 minutes? Here's another beautiful piece of lying. Here's Sarah Sanders saying that, well, first of all, she's throwing Victoria Tensing and Joe DiGenova under the bus, okay? And says that Parnas and Fruman never spoke to Donald Trump. They never did.
There's text messages from Victoria Tensing to Lev Parnas and all of that. You know, it seems like they all had some interest in what was going on here with regard to whether or not there would be a meeting at the White House and the kind of leverage that they would have on getting some information on the Bidens and this person Firtash and all of that. What do you think when you read all of this and when you hear that these individuals were sort of evoking the president in order to get what they wanted out of these Ukrainian individuals?
Well, it sounds like a group of self-serving people. And I think Parnas has been clear in several of his statements. One, he was no friend of the president and he never actually had a direct conversation with the president.
False. How long did that take? You see, everybody, it takes 2 seconds to tell the truth and a lifetime to lie.
Mary had a little man,
the fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey! It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhoads Show.
Turn up your mind.
The Government Accounting Office confirmed that the president's actions at the center of our impeachment articles, withholding congressionally approved military aid from Ukraine, was illegal. Oh! And these are their words. These are the words of the GAO. Faithful execution of the law does not permit the president to substitute his own policy priorities for those that Congress has enacted into law. The Office of Management and Budget withheld funds for a policy reason which is not permitted under the Empowerment Control Act.
There you have it. Okay, that's the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, informing the American people that the Government Accountability Office, a nonpartisan office, found that in the central issue in the impeachment articles, that pertain, or appertain, if you listen to, John Roberts, that appertain, hate that word, to the removal, the conviction of President Donald John Trump, they found he did indeed break the law. So what is the issue for the Republicans? Again, what is the issue? No crime. First of all, extortion is a crime. Second off, bribery is a crime. Third off, obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress is a crime. So now you've got criminal activity violating the Impoundment Act. This is crazy, but you know, I swear to God, I think we're the only people that brought that up because that is what it's called. That's the law he violated. But now the GAO says, yeah, that's what he did. He was not entitled to withhold that money. He had absolutely no reason. The State Department refused to participate. The Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney, refused to participate. Everything he said when he confessed in front of the TV cameras that day, we were looking at all the legal issues. Apparently, you didn't look because you were in violation of law. And when it came time to investigate that, you wouldn't participate with the investigation. They obstructed that too, and still they were able to conclude that Donald Trump broke the law on the central issue in this trial. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And then you've got on top of that the Parnas stuff, and they asked Nancy Pelosi, why wasn't the Parnas stuff handed over? How come you didn't hand it over earlier? And she told everybody in front of a microphone just exactly what I told you. And that was that it just became available the day they released it. The court gave Parnas permission. The court in New York gave him permission to release these pieces of evidence that were gathered when it came to prosecuting him for a money laundering scheme, a campaign finance money laundering scheme in the state of New York. So she answered that.
Senator Susan Collins called the timing of...
I'm Senator who?
Senator Collins.
Senator who?
Said the timing of the Parnas documents was perplexing to her. Can you lay out why these documents are being released now and whether more may be coming?
Well, they were released now because that's when they were obtained. And, and then his going further into public interviews on that is very compelling. But again, why would they not want to find out? Under other circumstances...
Yeah, really.
If somebody like Parnas came forward and there was evidence, there was reason to believe that there was some of that was factual, there would be a special prosecutor appointed. Does anybody think that the rogue attorney general is going to support appoint a special prosecutor? No, because he's implicated in all of this.
Oh.
This is an example of all of the president's henchmen. And I hope that the senators do not become part of the president's henchmen.
That's where we are. That is literally where we are. And it only takes four senators of the Republican persuasion to have some sort of a spine, which we believe is required in order to be a biped. The rest of them are a different species. Somehow, they're not, part of our Homo sapiens species. They seem to be more related to worms. No backbone. No spine, no conscience, no moral compass, no character. They're just terrified. They're terrified of Donald Trump's mafioso organization that we are calling an administration. How sad. Brother David.
Sister Euglena. That's what they are. They're Euglena.
Euglena.
Talk about no spine. Oh, dear heart, so good to speak to you as ever. The corruption is comb over deep and spreading.
Huh. Speaking of comb overs, could somebody just send a quick message to Lev Parnas? It's time to shave it.
Yes.
Just go.
Something. Yeah. No, it's not becoming. What's his face from Friends? Matt, what's his face, needs to play him in the TV movie with a shaved head. and a toop, a bad toop. It's just, here's the thing. A quick shout out to the chat room. You know what to do. Get 10 people who don't listen to listen and go to randyrhodes.com. There, I've done my civic duty.
Thank you.
The thing is, I do believe that there, as I know you do too, that there are at least 70, if not 75% of capital U period, capital S period, us, who get it. Mm-hmm. And if they are under pressure in the Senate to not allow witnesses, then we need to put on the pressure to demand witnesses.
Absolutely.
More than four of those senators are in very shaky ground already.
Definitely.
And this is going to come down.
Have you seen? I don't know if everybody looks, you know, and I understand why people don't drill down deep, but that's what I'm here for. Susan Collins has become the most unpopular senator in the United States, surpassing Mitch McConnell's unpopularity. I mean, Mitch McConnell only has 37%, approval rating in Kentucky. For God's sake, how hard is it for the people of Kentucky to step up to the plate and say, you know what, you're not going to destroy the Constitution on my watch?
Thank you, especially when you got Amy McGrath gaining ground by every day.
Amy McGrath is a fabulous, you're a liberal hack, Martha McSally. She's being challenged by, an astronaut, for God's sake. What's her name? Mark Kelly.
And I want that on a T-shirt. I'm a liberal hack and proud of it.
He's not a liberal hack. He's a reporter.
Know,
he asks questions.
Totally. But then this is the playground, fourth grade at best, response, which should tell anybody with half a brain in their head they have nothing to work with. But glib name-calling and neater, neater, neater. It's like when you were on the interview and What's-Her-Face put her fingers in her ears and went, nah, 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 I can't hear you.
Oh, Janet Parshall.
Janet Parshall, that's right. I do have hope, even though this is unprecedented, and I've told all my friends, get your passport updated now while you still can, just in case, because we're at fight or flight.
You know what? It does take a while to get a passport. I would say go ahead and apply. It costs a few bucks, but it's a great thing to have.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
number one. Number two, please understand that these senators are terrified of these elections that are coming up. And so if Martha McSally starts to feel the heat in Arizona and people are saying, Mark Kelly's my dude now because you won't defend the Constitution. You are part of the cult. Or if people in Kentucky start saying, I don't know if he should be removed or not. I haven't heard all the evidence. I would like to hear the damn evidence. And if you become an impediment to telling the truth to the American people, then we're going to become an impediment to you being the majority leader. In fact, you won't be a senator anymore.
Exactly.
That the people
I love
are,
you always.
It's what you've always said, though. The people are coming.
The people are coming.
Yeah.
And there it is. Go see Parasite. Love you. Bye.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely on my list this weekend. Parasite. I heard it's amazing. You want to know what else I think? I mean, there's a lot of contretemps over the Joker. I will say, loved it. It's unbelievable. It is such a look at how somebody becomes so damaged through no fault of their own and how society turns a blind eye until they can no longer do that. It is really, really deep. This movie, The Joker, unreal. Unreal.
All things Randy at randyrhodes.com.
Go for launch.
Speaking truth to power, The Randy Rhodes Show.
I regret certain things that I did because, hurting the ambassador and, because that was not something, but it was part of it. It's like when you're in a war, you think like casualties and stuff like that. It's bad to say, but it was, and I keep saying it was like, being in a cult. I mean, when they say organized crime, I don't think Trump is like organized. I think he's like a cult leader. Mm. And right now, the scary part, and that's what I keep mentioning and people don't understand, is there's a lot of Republicans that would go against him. The only reason if you take a look, and you know very well because you've been following, the difference between why Trump is so powerful now, and he wasn't as powerful in 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. He became that powerful when he got William Barr.
Yeah.
People are scared. Am I scared? Yes. Because I think I'm more scared of our own Justice Department than of these criminals right now. Because,
God.
The scariest part is getting locked in some room and being treated as an animal when you did nothing wrong. Or when you're not, and that's the tool they're using. I mean, just because they're trying to scare me into not talking and doing, but with God's help and with my lawyer next to me that I know will go to bat for me no matter what, with the truth. And I'm taking a chance. My wife is scared. My kids are nervous.
He says he's more afraid of the United States Justice Department than he is of anything else, than he is of mafioso or any. He is afraid. Now, I don't think he's telling the whole truth there, okay? I showed you why I think he's telling you, oh, I feel bad about Marie Yovanovitch. I didn't want anything to happen. That's bull crap. That is bull crap. The reason why Fruman and Parnas were all about getting rid of her is because she was the impediment to them getting rid of the president of Naftogaz and installing themselves. So there is a lie. So the question is, why are the Republicans so terrified to put him on the stand when he is easily impeached? There are other this Favrov dude, he knows what happened because he is a director at Naftogaz. And you know what's very interesting is nobody asked about Naftogaz. In all of these interviews, no one asked. But here, this plays to the part where the Republicans are more afraid of the United States Department of Justice than they are of impeaching a witness who is alleging an extraordinary amount of crimes that are being done by the President of the United States. I mean, how twisted a narrative is this? Dan in Dubuque, Iowa.
I'd just like to say they basically, right along with Trump, the senators are taking their marching orders from Putin.
Well, you know, all roads lead to Putin. It just seems like every single story, every single law that's been busted or broken, every single time, the only person Trump has ever genuflected in front of is Vladimir Putin. You know, the only person that Donald Trump hasn't trashed is Vladimir Putin.
I think also the shouldn't just be four senators. It should be the whole 50 of them or however many there is that sit there and stick up for.
There's 53 of them.
53. It should be all of them sticking up for this country and not just having to rely on three or four of them or whatever they need.
Well, you know, you would think that in the United States of America there would be 53 people of any persuasion that are willing to defend the Constitution. You know, you right. Think that there would be, but this is how corrupt our government is under Donald Trump. This is how, I mean, it's always been, you know, there's always been money sloshing around. There's always been, you know, two lobbyists for every member of Congress on health care. Okay, just on every issue, there's two lobbyists for every member. We get it. We understand. Citizens United was one of the most disgusting, disgraceful Supreme Court decisions. It will go down in history as being as disruptive to the American promise as Dred Scott. Okay, that's how bad it is. However, you would think that they would be wanting to dismantle Lev Parnas. You think that they would be wanting to discredit this person who is alleging Pompeo and Perry and Mulvaney and the President of the United States and Vice President Mike Pence are all part of an organized criminal cabal. You would think that they would want to defend, but they don't because they know it's true.
Right.
And that's the sad, sick position that we're in as Americans. And, you know, thankfully, Brother David did point out, 71% of America has their heads on straight when it comes to this. Everybody, or I should say almost everybody in this country wants witnesses. This is like, gun safety measures. 98% of Americans, including gun owners, want some background checks. We can't get them. Why? Money. It's all about the money. But in this particular instance, it's worse than money. Money is a part of it. We know Lev Parnas is on trial for laundering foreign oligarch money into their campaign coffers. We know that. But it's worse than money. If Lev Parnas is to be believed on any level, and he has to be believed on some level because his documents make the case for a good chunk of what he's saying. A good chunk. Not all of it. But a good solid amount, I'd say 80% of what he said is provable by documents, text messages, emails, letters. Done. But he's saying to you, it's worse than you think, America. He's saying to you, he is more afraid of Bill Barr's Department of Justice than of any other thing. Now, let's fast forward to who Donald Trump has selected to represent him in the trial. First of all, I want to clear up one thing, in case there are, cult 45 members still listening, or maggots, or whatever you want. Because, and now you know why I'm so, I'm so angry at you. I'm so angry at you. Because the Constitution of the United States is being shredded in front of your freaking face. But you like the reality TV that this man provides you with more than you care about this country, which is just an agreement. America is just a simple agreement. On paper, it's a contract. It is the Constitution. And if the co-equal branches of government don't agree to support the deal, don't agree to adhere to their part of the deal, the whole thing falls apart. That's why I'm so angry with you. And it's really that tenuous, and it's really that delicate a balance, and it's really that easy to disband the United States of America and to disrupt the rule of law. It really is. So if anybody wants to know why, it's not because I hate him. I don't hate anybody, but I disrespect his lying. I disrespect him. He has no character. He has no integrity. He doesn't care who he hurts, the lives he destroys. He lies about injured soldiers now. This is, we can't have intelligence briefings because it might contradict the king. I'm sorry. This is bizarre.
Call in, connect. To speak to Randy, call 561-270-3844. 561-270-3844.
Yeah, and in the category of it's not my job,
I'm going to judge the case based on the evidence assembled by the House. I'm not going to expand the record. This Parnas thing, I smell a rat. It is a complete, never-ending desire to destroy everything Donald Trump. I took Mueller seriously. I don't take Schiff, Nadler seriously. And I don't take Chuck Schumer seriously when he says he's looking for the truth. He's looking to get back to be the majority leader, nothing more.
These are some gross people. Seriously disgusting. I mean, the GAO finds that the president did break the law on the key issue that they will be hearing in a trial setting, okay? I mean, no new evidence. Can I just explain to you that if during, the OJ trial, because Dershowitz is back, everybody, Dershowitz is back. But during the OJ trial, if they came up with a photograph of OJ, if they came up with phone video of O.J. Simpson stabbing Nicole repeatedly, this Senate wouldn't allow that to come into evidence. That's what they're saying to you. They are telling you that if there's photographic evidence, if there was a smoking gun that was discovered, in the hands of the murderer during the trial, they wouldn't let it come in. That is not how trials work. Evidence comes in all the time. That's how the glove got in. I mean, this is just so sick and sad. I don't know. I don't want to. You know what? If Parnas is lying, you would think that this brilliant lawyer, Lindsey Graham, would be interested in tearing him apart. But he's not, because he can't. Actually, he could. I just showed you how. But they don't have any interest in the other 80% of what he's saying that is supported with documents. It's so sick. This is so wrong. So here you have now the president announcing who's going to represent him. Now, the thing that I did want to bring up that I got off on a tangent, didn't tell you. The House invited Donald Trump. The House invited Donald Trump's attorneys to represent him during the impeachment hearings. Donald Trump refused to participate in any way, shape, or form in the impeachment in the House. That is a fact. 47 Republicans were entitled to ask questions of those witnesses in private when the depositions were taken, and that did occur. So let's not, feed the stupid beasts out there who say, there were secret hearings in the basement. That's bull. Matt Gaetz is a poser. He's a drama queen. That's number one. Number two, Donald Trump was invited to take a seat. Donald Trump's attorneys were invited to participate in the indictment portion of this trial that's now about to take place, and he declined. So get that clear in your head, because they're going to lie about that too, again and again, and you need that fact. It's a simple, easy fact. He was invited to participate to defend himself, and he declined and blocked all witnesses. Now, the only witnesses that the Republicans requested that did show up were Volker and Sondland, and they were devastating to the president. Now we move over to the Senate, okay? And to represent Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, Baylor University's former president, Ken Starr. Ken Starr, who was the only witness in the impeachment of Bill Clinton, the only witness in the impeachment of Bill Clinton, is now going to reappear after all these years and after shaming himself at Baylor University as Baylor University's president in the middle of accusations by 17 women that the football team had gang raped 17 to 19 girls. Ken Starr said nothing. Finally, Baylor University asked him to resign the presidency and order an investigation. He did. He ordered an investigation. And that investigation showed that 17 to 19 girls had credible claims. So Ken Starr was asked to resign the presidency, but they kept him. They kept him as, with all of his duties removed, they kept him as chancellor, and they kept him as a law professor, probably to save face for them and for him, because that's how these stupid things go. Now, he stayed silent on this issue. He was demoted from all but the law school professorship after a scathing 13-page summary. That's not a lot for you to read. A 13-page summary report found, and I quote, that Baylor, under his leadership, had done little to respond to the accusations of sexual assault involving the football players. The investigators said that football coaches and athletics administrators had run their own improper inquiries into rape claims, and that in some cases they had chosen not to report the allegations to an administrator outside of the athletic department. So Ken Starr was asked to resign, but they gave him his law professorship and they let him say that he was still chancellor with all obligations and duties removed. And then he cashed out. He got about $4.5 million, $4.52, that's the number I read, $4.52 million from the university, and in exchange, he resigned. He is going to represent Donald Trump, who's also being accused of rape by a good number of women, especially E. Jean Carroll. That's going to be one of his lawyers. Alan Dershowitz, who's got some questions regarding Epstein's victims swirling around. You know, one of Jeffrey Epstein's victims. Now, remember, Jeffrey Epstein showed up dead in a Bill Barr-run prison. That's just so fascinating, isn't it? Yeah. So Jeffrey Epstein shows up dead of an apparent suicide in Bill Barr's prison. And now Alan Dershowitz is going to represent Donald Trump in this Senate trial. And Alan Dershowitz has been accused by one of Epstein's victims of raping her. So she can't really do anything about it because apparently there's a statute of limitations. I don't know how he's getting out. But She sued him for defamation because he called her a liar. Alan Dershowitz then countersued her, saying she's ruining his life. Those are live cases. And this is another lawyer that Donald Trump has selected to represent him. There are numbers of photographs of Donald Trump with Jeffrey Epstein, but of course he doesn't know him either. Donald Trump doesn't know Jeffrey Epstein. He doesn't know David Duke. He doesn't know Lev Parnas, even though Lev Parnas has 1,000 pictures of him in small gatherings, videotapes in small gatherings, etc., etc. Jay Sekulow, who is going to be, I mean, if we had a real trial, he would be like Exhibit C in the trial of Donald Trump, because Exhibit A, Lev Parnas, has accused Jay Sekulow of being part of the plot. Because it's a RICO act. This is an entire corrupt organization in the White House. I'm stunned. Really.
This is the Randy Rhoads Show. To speak with Randy, dial 561-270-3844. That's 561-270-3844.
Did you ever have any communications with the counsel of the president, Jay Sekulow, during the time that you were involved in all this?
Several conversations.
Oh.
One in particular, which I would have to refresh my memory by looking at my text messages with him, and but it had to do with, I think it was Viktor Shokin's visa or something to do with Ukraine, and Rudy was busy at the time and basically told me that Jay was aware of everything, that he brought him up to speed and that I could call him, and he was on top of it.
Was, by that, did he mean that Mr. Sekulow was aware of this effort to try to get Ukraine to announce investigations?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I think was the best quote ever was when Mr. Sutherland said everybody was in the loop. And that's
you believe that everybody was in the loop?
I don't believe, I know. I know they were in the loop. I was witness to conversations and, you know, in between them, and everybody was in the loop. Everybody didn't agree with the loop. I mean, Jay Sekulow didn't agree with what Rudy was doing, but he knew what he was doing.
How do you know that he didn't agree with it?
Because I heard them talk about
it. And what was his objection?
He didn't want to be involved in the Ukraine stuff. I don't know what his, you'd have to ask him what his, but my feeling from the conversations and watching the way Jay approached that situation was he just didn't want to be a part of it, wanted to stay away from it.
Okay, so Jay Sekulow is part of the cabal that was organizing the extortion in Ukraine to get dirt on Biden. Shokin was the dirty prosecutor who couldn't get a visa because the U.S. Embassy, Marie Yovanovitch, felt that he was too corrupt to issue an American visa, too. Jay Sekulow was involved in that. And that was in order to get false testimony from Viktor Shokin that would say that Biden was dirty. That, and it was more Joe Biden than Hunter Biden, according to this Lev Parnas guy. Now, those facts are in dispute. When facts are in dispute, guess what happens? The witness is cross-examined. The documents are introduced so that the jury can decide whether or not the witness is credible. In this case, the lawyer is Exhibit C. And that can't be introduced because he's the freaking lawyer. You know who else is being tapped for this? Pam Bondi. And what is the problem with Pam Bondi? One of the lobby shops that are involved in this cabal is the lobby shop that Pam Bondi works for. I mean, this is just sick. It's just, so if the president picks a lawyer for you, it's the president picking a lawyer for him. It's just, wow, this is just so deep and so far-reaching. And so, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. It's just really sick and twisted. Karen in Eastern Pennsylvania.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm so thrilled that you are on Free Speech TV.
Me too. Small world.
I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm, with this administration, I'm trying to binge watch every crime show ever made in one weekend.
Yeah, I hear you.
My brain can't handle it. I just wonder what you think about this. I think the Republicans are so terrified of calling witnesses because I think they're afraid that it will lead to the impeachment of Mike Pence along with Donald Trump, and they are out of their minds nuts that Nancy Pelosi would become president.
Yeah, well, that's just the way the Constitution is written. And a President Pelosi, you know, the first thing she would do is fire everybody. And I could pretty much promise you that she would not seek another term, you know. She would let the election proceed. She would just hold down the fort. And I'm pretty sure that she would get rid of the entire attorney general. Every cabinet member would go. And we would have a shot at cleaning this up. So it would be a great thing. Plus, she'd be the first female president.
Yes, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I do. And I call anywhere from 10 to 15 Republican senators every single day to ask for witnesses. And I tell them, I worked as a nurse all my life. They need to treat this Constitution like it's in intensive care, on life support. And if it's not going to be cared for and taken care of, it's going to die.
Yeah, it's true. It's very fragile. You know, it really is. This agreement that we have with each other, this agreement that the branches of government have with each other for all the fighting and the different points of view and the how we should spend the money and the how do we collect the money and who pays the money, all of those, issues like who gets health care, who does, those are the issues that affect every single American. And there's a lot of disagreement between the Republicans and the Democrats, but there should be no space for disagreement on the Constitution. There should be no safe space to be in public service as a senator, a United States senator, if you refuse to uphold the Constitution, if you refuse to do impartial justice, if you took that oath and signed that book and you refuse to do impartial justice, there should be no space for you to get reelected in these here United States. And that goes for Lindsey Graham, who's on the ballot, goes for Mitch McConnell, who's on the ballot, goes for Martha McSally, who's on the ballot, goes for Susan Collins, who's on the ballot. There are a lot of people that are, up for reelection in 2020. Their names will appear on their state's ballots. Now, I just want to give you a little aside. At the beginning of the week, we found out that there's going to be this, Virginia, their legislature went totally Democratic. Let's not forget 2018 was a really big game changer. The reason why the Democrats won in such large numbers in 2018 was to hold this president accountable. That, and because we didn't believe that women and children should be separated and put in cages. Those issues motivated women to vote in record numbers. So Virginia, their legislature, they just had a big election, just went completely Democratic for the first time in, I don't know, 50 years, some ridiculously long time. So now Virginia is doing some very progressive things, and one of the things that they are doing is doing background checks. They're bringing legislation that's going to force background checks in Virginia. Well, there's going to be demonstrations on Monday in Virginia from these gun rights nuts. The Virginia state legislature put out like sort of a BOLO, be on the lookout warning this week, saying that white supremacists were going to be at this gun rights rally on Monday in Virginia, and that they had information that it was like the same people from Charlottesville. It was the same white supremacists. All of a sudden today, the FBI just arrested a whole bunch of white supremacists who were going to this protest in Virginia, thereby averting another Heather Heyer incident. So that President Trump could stand on TV and say there are good people on both sides. Just to let you know. Jeannie in Hawaii.
Hey, Randy.
Hey.
Janine. I think that, first of all, Lev Parnas just meant at first he had no opinion of Marie Yovanovitch.
Mm-hmm.
But then after hanging around the Trump crowd, he said, hearing all this stuff, he finally got in with them.
I don't believe him. I don't think that's true, because the person who was on the board of directors for Naftogaz, this Ukrainian gas company, said that Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman were very anxious to get rid of her so that they could fire the president, because this is a state-owned gas company, and put themselves on the board. So I think he's lying, and this is wonderful.
Well, I think he just for the Republicans only at first. It wasn't until he had been hanging around with these people that he hated her.
Yeah, that's what he said. That is what he said.
His initial statement.
Yeah, and I don't believe him. But go ahead.
Okay. So for the last couple of weeks, I have been just thinking, oh my God, this is so much like the O.J. Simpson trial, where no matter what you say, no matter what evidence,
yes,
you're not going to listen. And now Alan Dershowitz and this other guy that defended O.J., I can't even believe it. So I am wondering, since all these QAnon nuts, the only person they hate more than Nancy Pelosi is Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
They hate him. How are they going to spin this?
You know, yesterday,
the same people representing O.J. and Jeffrey Epstein are now defending their boy.
Yeah, it is interesting. Well, Dershowitz is trying to separate himself. He says he's not really on the legal team. He's just been called upon to make a constitutional case of some sort.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The guy who defended O.J. and Epstein. It's very fascinating. And, that Epstein died in Bill Barr's prison. And that they get the QAnon people to say Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, except they missed the whole point that it's Bill Barr's prison. It is a fascinating cult, gotta say. Listen, have a great weekend. We'll regroup. We'll be here on Monday. We'll pay homage to Martin Luther King, but we will work.